Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gregory Copley is editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And we go immediately to the Red Sea and the environs. The headlines are coming quickly and threateningly. For example, London. The United Kingdom is ready to attack Houthi rebels, says Grant Shapps. Britain is considering airstrikes on Houthi rebels, as the defense secretary, Mr. Shapps. UK will not hesitate to take direct action, says Mr. Shapps, over the attacks on cargo ships in the Red Sea. The cargo ships include the world-scale Maersk, and the headline now, in these last hours, Maersk pauses transit through Red Sea until further notice after attack on ship. This is the container ships that the supply chain depends upon, and they're going all the way around Africa to avoid the trouble with the Houthis. The trouble is growing, however, because there is not unanimity as to what is to be done. And many states that you believe would be involved, European states, are staying back from organizing a defense of the Red Sea traffic. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Thank you. As editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, you've acquainted me for years with what you present as the Red Med. That's the Red Sea and the Mediterranean. I would say that the worst nightmare I can remember talking to you about was not this. The Suez Canal virtually shut to commercial traffic to the supply chain, oil tankers avoiding, and the Houthis, which is a desert band with very good missiles and good helicopters and trained as if they're special forces. I've seen some of their video that they put out. They are now dug in Yemen, at least in the capital Sana'a, and threatening all of the world's traffic because, fill in the blank, because of Gaza, because of Israel, because of the way we've been treated by the Saudis. At this point, there are more complications, but I'll stop there. Do you see the U.S. leading a coalition successfully against the Houthis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It depends what you mean by successfully. Certainly, there are task forces in which the U.S. is involved, Task Force 150, 151, and 152, which are multinational task forces designed to counter piracy, among other things, in the Arabian Sea and Red Sea. The U.S. Has an active role there. It has a command position from a base in Bahrain in the Persian Gulf. But what we're seeing now is a reluctance by some European powers to join in this, not because they don't have a vested stake in the economics of the Red Sea and Suez Canal sea lane, because that's vital to them as well, but largely because they don't have the stomach for a protracted conflict. They don't want to be drawn into something broader, and they are not wealthy enough at the moment to afford to join in these things. That may change, but the reality is that for countries like Britain and the United States, they have no option but to help clear that vital seaway. And of course, it's vital not just to the major trading powers, but also to the littoral powers such as Egypt and the like. So what we'll see is that the war against the so-called Houthi, which in fact is a much broader movement, is going to be very, very difficult. And you describe the Houthi as a desert band. In fact, it's a mountain band, because that's what makes it so difficult. Egypt went to war with Yemen in the 50s and had to retreat from that with massive losses and no viable outcome other than to overthrow the monarchy in Yemen. It's a very difficult country in which to fight, which is why the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, which were in the coalition to combat the Houthi forces were not successful. The so-called Houthis, which are, as I say, part of a broader movement, actually now have reclaimed all control of North Yemen, what was North Yemen, and they've isolated the so-called internationally recognized government into a small enclave in Aden, which was the capital of the former South Yemen. So basically, they control the country. They are not a rebel band. They are a national government, albeit one which is not recognized as such at this point, largely because the West and Saudi Arabia dominate international thinking on that. Can the U.S. and Britain and others successfully combat the Houthi? Not necessarily by military means, although they can certainly make sure that any military activities by the Yemenis in the Red Sea are not going to be effective. The large numbers of ballistic missiles and unmanned combat aerial vehicles and cruise missiles, which the Houthi have at their disposal, largely based on Iranian technology, are highly ineffective. And in fact, if the U.S. or Royal Navy are in the vicinity of the merchant traffic, they can certainly protect it. The Maersk incident, where a ship was actually hit but not seriously damaged, was something which could have been well avoided had there been naval vessels in the vicinity to intercept those cruise missiles, or the cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, or unmanned combat aerial vehicles, drones. What we are seeing is that the Iranians are sending a small warship, a frigate-sized vessel, down into the area, but we can be assured that that frigate commander would be most reluctant, I would assume, to engage with Western warships in the area, largely because it would result in immediate destruction, and it would decrease Iran's protection and also its status, its prestige. So it'll be there to show that it's there. The West can counter these missiles. The question is, can they really affect the decisions by commercial companies to stop going through the Red Sea at this particular time? Because they are influenced by the massive escalation of costs from their insurers. And the insurance companies are driving this debate right now, and they're doing it purely on the factor of, we don't want to see any risk whatsoever, even though we know that insurance companies are there to absorb risk. That's supposed to be their game. That's the bet they take. But they don't want to take any risks, so they either escalate the insurance costs or they deny insurance altogether, and that drives the shippers away, because the shippers, the commercial customers of the shipping lines, can't afford to lose all of their inventory at sea. And the reality is that they're probably not going to see that loss anyway, but they don't want to take the risk. So we get now added cost in going around the Cape of Good Hope for these ships. And we get not only that, we have an extra couple of weeks or 2 or 3 weeks at sea, which means that inventory is being literally in a holding position for a longer period, which adds to the cost of the items being shipped. So in other words, it has an impact on all aspects of the supply chain and the economies of the countries engaged at either as manufacturers or as consumers. So this is the skill, if you like, of the Iranian and Yemeni ploy at this stage, is to make this so economically uncomfortable that some compromise will have to be made. The question is, nobody knows what that compromise should or could be. We know that the Yemenis are absolutely angry at the Saudis, and they don't want them to normalize relations with the Israelis. They want to punish the Saudis for literally a decade or more of what can only be construed as illegal bombing of Yemeni population centers. And the Yemenis are rightly sort of indignant about this and want to strike back. Whether they can achieve anything by this is another matter. They've put themselves in a position now, probably at the pushing of Beijing and Tehran, to antagonize Saudi Arabia, antagonize Israel, and therefore antagonize the U.S. and Britain and the like. But the question is whether it will benefit the Yemenis at all in this, and even whether it will benefit the Iranians, other than to show that they have some nuisance value.
We've looked at the Red Sea tangle from the European point of view, insurance companies and the EU and the U.S. and the U.K. with a warship. However, there is the African point of view. And when we come back, what about Somaliland? What about Ethiopia? What about Djibouti? They're right there in the Red Med, and they see what's going on. And especially, what about Egypt and the drop in revenues from the Suez Canal? Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.